say amen. Amen. If you would turn with me to Luke, the fourth chapter, Luke, the fourth chapter, the first verse. Luke, the fourth chapter. The first verse, you get it if you can say, I've got it. Reads us, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. And then if you would go with me to Luke, the fourth chapter, that 16th verse, the 16th verse. Jesus on the other side of the wilderness as he's gone and returned to Galilee. It says he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day went into the synagogue as was his custom, stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. My brothers and my sisters, I ask that you would join me in a word of prayer as we share on the sermon subject today, the road less traveled. The road less traveled. Let us look to the Lord God. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we're grateful. Thank you, God, for this moment that is yours. Thank you, God, for these people who pressed their way out to the house of the Lord on this Sunday. Now, God, in Jesus' name, let us, God, all, God, be blessed in this moment. Let us all, God, hear a word from you. God, in Jesus' name, help us all in this space. Heal somebody, God. Deliver somebody. Save somebody. Set the captive free. We'll be sure to give your name the honor, the praise, and the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. The road less traveled. My brothers and sisters, everybody wants to be a winner. Everybody wants to be accomplished. Everybody wants to be successful. I dare say that you can't find much of anybody who would tell you they don't hope at some level in their life to have some kind of success, some kind of accomplishment. Everybody, if we're honest, wants to blow up. Everybody wants to get paid. Amen, somebody? That nobody wants to be the one that doesn't make it. No one wants to be the loser. No one wants to be the reject. No one wants to be the forsaken. No one wants to be the pitiful. Everybody wants to be a winner. And it's an interesting thing for me because, Reverend Bill, I often like to study those who have been able to accomplish high things. I like to study those who have been able to reach high levels. I like to study those, whether they're CEOs or people who have accomplished things well in their sports career, whether it's people who have been high accomplishers in the spiritual arena or preaching careers, or whether it was folks who shaped their own businesses or whatever. Whatever it was, I like to study those who are highly accomplished. And what I've come to realize in looking at most folks who are highly accomplished is that there's something they all have in common, and that is the extra step. That what you will find with anybody who has been able to accomplish things at a high level is, the truth be told, many of them were able to take the extra step. The challenge, my brothers and sisters, is that many want to be a winner, but most don't want to do what it takes to be a winner. that many want to be accomplished, but most don't want the extra step, the hard work that it takes to be accomplished. That most want to finish strong, but you often find it hard to find those who will actually take the extra step to do what it takes to finish strong. I could sit here and I could preach about finishing strong all week long, all month long, all year long, all decade long, but yet in the midst of it all, that there are steps that have to be taken, because there's a process to purpose and there's a pathway to be able to get to power. Have I got a witness in the house today? And so my brothers and my sisters, I've come to talk to you today because as I look at this scripture, as I sat and I look at all these CEOs, as I look at all these great business leaders, as I look at all these highly accomplished people in all their different fields, I realize that somebody, if I'm going to be who I want to be, that I need to be able to look at, and his name is Jesus. And when I look at Jesus, I look at Jesus, and here I see him in this fourth chapter of Luke, and I look at him in the 16th verse, and what they call it oftentimes is this great inaugural sermon. This is Jesus' initial sermon. This is Jesus' first time. This is his coming out party in which he's coming out to show that he's in ministry. And you find that the Bible says that he goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom, because he's what? Sunday strong. Turn to your neighbor and say he's Sunday strong. Even Jesus was Sunday strong. Even Jesus was used to going to church on the day of worship. And he says that he goes there, and as Jesus goes into the synagogue, it says that he grabs the scripture to read, and because he was what? Study strong. Turn to your neighbor and say he was study strong. Amen. He grabs the scripture as it was time to read, and he opened the scroll, and the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He unrolled it. He found a place where it is written. It said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll. This is what gets me. He gave it back to the attendant. He sat down. This is in his hometown. This is where he grew up, in the hood called Nazareth. And it said, the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." I don't know about you, but it takes a bad somebody to read the scripture and then say, "That's me." Amen, somebody. That Jesus read the scripture from the prophet Isaiah, talked about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, read the scripture, and then turned to the people he grew up with and told them, "That's me." It's an amazing thing to me that when you can get to the point in your life in which you are so pregnant with possibility, you are so sure of your purpose, that you are so clear on what God has for your life, that you can look at people who grew up with you and tell them, "I'm going to be about my Father's business." You can tell them, "I'm about to blow this thing up." You can tell them, "I'm about to do something different." You can tell them, "I know who y'all used to know me as." Amen, somebody. But I've come by to let you know who I really am. God have mercy, Jesus. It's an amazing thing, because the people were amazed. But the Bible says that they said, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" Because they still couldn't get over, still couldn't get past who he was to them. Is there anybody in the house today that's how you sometimes feel? And that's how you felt on Thanksgiving. You went home to be with the family on Thanksgiving, and everybody knew you for who you used to be, and you're trying to tell them, "Baby, I'm different now." And y'all don't understand that God's doing a work in me. God's doing a thing for me. God's got a purpose in my life. Is there anybody here who, when you said you about to do it, everybody looked at you like you were half crazy? When you talk about how you about to get your business rolling, they look at you like you ain't got no good sense because you couldn't even pass math class, but now you talking about doing the accounting for your... Is there anybody here knows what I'm talking about? But I've come by to let you know that when you can walk in the power of your purpose, Lord have mercy, and you can sit in the whole hood you grew up in, and everybody's still smoking the same old weed and drinking on the same old 40, and you can let them know, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me, Lord have mercy, to do what I'm about to do." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I'm anointed for this." One of the first things you've got to understand, if you're going to be able to walk in this season and the road less traveled, is you've got to understand that you get to your new season through the desert and not the river. You get to your new season through the desert and not the river. It's an interesting thing, Reverend Doctor, but I'm looking at Jesus and I'm looking at the situation. He's sitting there in the synagogue and he's sitting there giving this initial sermon. He's sitting there with power and anointing. He's sitting there, I mean, just knowing that this is his season. This is his moment. He's 30 years old and he's about to begin his public ministry. He's 30 years old and he's about to launch into this amazing kind of earth-shattering, world-changing cosmos, a shifting kind of a ministry. He's right on the verge of it. He knows it. He feels it. But what got him there was not the river. Let me help you understand it, because if you look at the scripture, what you will look at is in chapter 3. In chapter 3 was when he went to the river. He went to the Jordan River, and a guy named John the Baptist, his cousin, was out of the Jordan baptizing folks. His cousin John was baptizing folks, and Jesus came out to get baptized by John, and John baptized Jesus, and the Bible says that the sky opened up and a dove came down on Jesus, and that God spoke from the heavens and said, "This is my beloved son in who I am well pleased." It's an amazing thing. I would have thought that, can you picture what it means when you get baptized, that a dove comes down? Now, I could picture that, but can you picture the skies open up, and out of the sky, a voice says, "This is my beloved son and who I'm well pleased." I would have thought that it would be after that moment that Jesus went to the synagogue and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." I don't know about you, but the sky opens up and God talks from the sky to say, "I'm the one. I'm about to go and let all y'all know. Baby, I'm the one." Anybody catch that in your Insta story? Anybody catch God talking to me like that? At that point is when I'm going to have the confidence. If God's self says that I'm the one, I would have thought, then that's when Jesus goes back home to the old neighborhood to let them know what God was doing in his life. But the Bible says that Jesus didn't go there from the river. It says he went there from the wilderness. Lord have mercy. The Bible says at the beginning, that was chapter 3, the beginning of chapter 4, you find the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, sometimes you've got to go through the wilderness for you can get to your power." You see, I would have thought that he got there from the river, but he ended up getting there from the wilderness. How, Reverend Lil Tony? Well, you've got to understand, it made me think of this poem by a gentleman by the name of Robert Frost. Robert Frost wrote a poem called "The Road Not Taken." And in this poem, he talks about getting to a fork in the road in which you can choose to go one way or choose to go the other. And as he's looking at one way or he's looking at the other, he can be able to discern that one road is a road that everybody goes on, but one road is the one that he calls the road less taken. And as you see the end of his poem, he says, "Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." I've come by to talk to somebody today, because in order for you to get to where you've got to go, you've got to take the road less taken. That I know everybody else may not do it, but you've got to take the road less taken. What do you mean, Reverend? Well, everybody takes the shouting road in church. Amen, somebody. Everybody takes the praising road in church, but it's hard to get somebody who takes the study road or the spiritual road, the prayer and the fasting road. But to get to some places, you can only get to them by prayer and by fasting. I told y'all, I thought that Jesus would have been able to go to the synagogue right after the baptism when God shouted them out from glory and everybody got their praise on. But the Bible says the devil didn't lead them to the wilderness, but God led them to the wilderness. The Spirit led them to the wilderness. And the Bible says in the wilderness, he didn't eat the whole time he was there. Because sometimes, Lord have mercy, you can only get to some things through the spiritual journey of fasting and prayer. It's the road less traveled. I know, Reverend Bill, that when we come to see who did the homework, it can get discouraging when we don't see a lot of folks have done the homework. But the reality is, some roads are the road less traveled, that everybody ain't gonna get on this road. But it's my job as your pastor to try to get you to go on the road less traveled. I know you want to go on the road where you get to hop up and say stuff, and people tell you how good you are, but I need you to go
on the road, when you have a little talk with Jesus in the midnight hour, and turn down your plate and deny yourself in the wilderness, because that's where the devil gonna meet you. Have I got anybody in here that knows if you're gonna have power, you got to go the road less traveled? You can't get power by doing what everybody else does, how everybody else does it, when everybody else does it, but you've got to do some things for yourself.
You get to the new season through the desert and not the river. But the second thing is when you get to your new season, you got to understand that strength plays to strength. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, strength plays to strength. When you look at Jesus in the wilderness, the Bible says that he fasted and he prayed for 40 days. And it said at the end of them, he was hungry. Turn to your neighbor and say, he was hungry. He was hungry, and that was when the devil spoke to him. Lord, have mercy. The devil didn't speak to him all 40 days. Can you picture? All 40 days, he was out in the wilderness all by himself, led by the Holy Spirit, and he's hungry, and he's not eating, and he's fasting, and he's praying. And it said, after when he was hungry, Lord, when he was vulnerable, when he was in a pinch, that's when the devil spoke to him. And I've come by to help somebody here, because you've got to understand that when we're talking about these strengths, that you've got to be the finish strong, that you don't just do one strength to think that you're going to get to the end, but they add to each other. The Sunday strong adds to study strong, adds to spiritually strong, adds to service strong, adds to stewardship strong. If you look at Jesus, what you'll find is that Jesus didn't just come in there and believe to be spiritually strong and everything was going to be all right. That Jesus didn't just go and say, just because I've been fasting and praying, that's all that I need to fight the devil. But the Bible says that the devil came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus said, it is written that man shall not live on bread alone. Jesus then, the devil said, and told him, I give you authority and splendor over all things. And Jesus answered, it is written to worship the Lord your God and to serve him only. Then it said that Jesus led him up to the highest point in Jerusalem and told him to jump off and let the angels grab a hold of him. And the Bible says Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now I want to help you here, because you can miss it, because you can just think that Jesus was real smart in his fight against the devil. But what I watched was Jesus' strength, Lord have mercy, a play to strength. There was strength he got outside the wilderness that helped him in the wilderness. In the wilderness he was fasting and praying, but in the wilderness, when the devil came at him, when the devil tried to tempt him, when the devil tried to put stuff in front of him, that Jesus used the word of God to fight against the devil. He didn't learn that word in the wilderness. He learned that word before the wilderness, because he was study strong. Is there anybody in the house today that knows to fight the devils? You got to fight. You got to get the word up in you, and strength will play to strength. That study strong will hook up with spiritually strong, that's already hooked up with Sunday strong, and the devil got to go. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the devil about to run about your life if you just get strong. But you've got to get yourself built up so that strength plays to strength. Too many of us think it's just enough to be Sunday strong, or we think it's just enough to go out in the community and be service strong, or we think it's just enough to tip God and give our paycheck and be stewardship strong. But strength plays to strength, and when you add it all together, see, it don't make no sense to just do exercises, to only work out your upper body, and your legs look like sticks. It don't make no sense to just do leg presses, and your upper body look like sticks. It don't make no sense to lift weights, but you ain't got no cardio, and you can't halfway breathe. But when it all works together, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you can be strong in your arms, but if you ain't got no strength in your core,
then you ain't got no power. But if I got anybody in here, say, baby, I may not look like much, but I've been working on my core, and something on the inside is working on the outside, and I've got power. If I got somebody in here, you've got power, because strength plays to strength, plays to strength, that I'll fast and I'll pray. But that's not all I'm going to do. But I'm going to study my word, because I need the word for when the devil comes by. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the word is what beats back the devil. Your shout don't beat back the devil. I don't care, you can do a cartwheel and a backflip, but if you ain't got no word in you, then you ain't got no power. But I've come by to talk to a church that's got some power. I've come by to talk to a church that's ready to finish strong. I've come by to talk to a church, say, baby, I'm going out this decade better than I came in, because I'm going to have power. Listen, could I be transparent with y'all? Just a little vulnerable with y'all? Just a little honest with y'all? When Reverend Bill asked, do anybody know the scripture? And nobody knew it, I wanted to go out and go home. Because I felt like it was my failure. Because it's my job to get you ready for where we have to go. It's my job as a pastor to show you what's in front of you and what you can be able to get to. And so I sat there and I said, do you want to say attitude reflects leadership? And so on some stuff, as a teacher, if two people fail the test but everybody else gets it right, it's the two people fault. If everybody failed the test, then you got to look at yourself as a teacher and say, what am I missing? What am I not doing? How am I falling short? So this isn't me trying to beat up on y'all. This is me trying to deal with myself to say, how clear do I need it to be for you? That this is not an ordinary moment, but we're about to walk up on the end of a decade. And in this church, and I believe in your lives, God is orchestrating opportunity and possibility, but you're going to have to be foundationally structured to deal with it. And the truth be told, many of us, I said us, I'm not saying many of y'all, many of us are not ready for what God is trying to do because we don't have our foundations tight enough. And so that's why this whole finish strong piece, I believe when God gave it, was this get back to the basics. Sunday strong, study strong, spiritually strong, service strong, and stewardship strong. But I can't force you to go down the road. Because when you get to the fork in the road, you have to make decision for yourself which road you're going to take. Robert Frost said, I took the one less traveled, and that has made all the difference. In my life, if I'm honest with you, when I look back about 30 years ago at Ebenezer, when we were first learning this stuff and growing this stuff, I realized we took the road less traveled. And that's made all the difference.
trying to give you what I know works. It'll work if you work it. But you've got to work it. And I promise you, as sure as I'm standing here, if you'll put in the work, God will take care of your business. Spiritually strong, praying and fasting. Some stuff don't come up by prayer and fasting. Fasting is a way that allows us to silence our flesh and hear more clearly from God. Fasting is a discipline. It's not just not eating. It's not just, there are physiological things that happen in fasting. We praise God for that, and it can be better for your health and all that kind of stuff, and that's wonderful. But spiritually, fasting is about saying no to your flesh. It always wants you to say yes. And if you can say no to your flesh in certain ways, and you can start to say no to your flesh in other ways. And when you feel like cursing somebody else out, you can say no. Because you can realize that's my emotion. That's my flesh jumping up at me. And I've got discipline to tell my flesh no, because that's not what God. See, fasting and prayer is about a putting God as priority in the decisions of your life. And making sure that your body, your mind, your emotions are in line with the decision-making process that you have shaped, is saying that what God wants me to do is what I'm going to do. Fasting and prayer isn't just be hungry or God. No, fasting and prayer is about, it allows me to be in a space that I can hear God more clearly, so that when God says go left, I go left. God says, turn right, I turn right. But I connect that to my study so that I've got the tools to help confirm for me where I'm going. Is that making sense to somebody? And so today, on this Communion Sunday, the last Communion Sunday of this decade, I challenge everybody in here to take the road less traveled. I challenge everybody in here, even if you just try it for this month, just try it. Let God prove God's self to you in the midst of it all. I promise you'll be better. I promise you'll be stronger. I promise you'll be further along your journey. And we hit the next decade, when we hit 2020, I promise you'll be ready to start to move and to grab a hold of everything God has in store for you. Being honest with yourself, this isn't a hype thing. Matter of fact, all eyes closed. So that this isn't about what anyone around you is doing. If you want to grab a hold of this challenge for yourself for this month, just raise your hand where you are. If you want to honestly, if you're not ready for it, keep your hand down, and that's all good. It's no shame. If you honestly want to take hold of this challenge, raise your hand. I want to pray for you, God. In Jesus' name, I thank you. And I'm grateful for every hand lifted. Grateful, God, for every person who wants to take the challenge of taking the road less traveled. God, in Jesus' name, I come right now believing in the name Lord Jesus that you, God, shall help us to walk this journey. Give us the discipline, God. Wake us up. Give us the strength to move to be who you've called us to be. God, I thank you there's power in this room. God, I thank you there's potential in this room. God, I thank you there's purpose in this room. And so, God, in Jesus' name, I thank you that we shall finish strong. Now, God, even bless, God, those whose hands are up. I thank you, God, for them keeping it real. And I thank you, God, for where they are in their lives right now. And I ask, God, that you would move in them and for them and through them and continue, God, to convict them and push them, God, to be all you've called them to be. I thank you, God. We shall all get there together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Won't you stand all over the church, all that are able? Today I want to give someone here, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, we want to give you that opportunity.